Hi, Bill McKeever here from Mormonism Research Ministry. If you are in the Salt Lake City area, you might be interested in an in-depth class I've been asked to teach for the Lifeline Institute called Mormonism, Its History and Doctrine. This is a 20-hour course that is sponsored by Lifeline Community in West Jordan, Utah. Mormonism, Its History and Doctrine begins on January 29th, and because it consists of 10 two-hour classes, I will be covering the unique history and teachings of the LDS faith much more thoroughly than is possible in a regular church setting. Again, Mormonism, Its History and Doctrine, starts on January 29th at the West Campus of Lifeline Community, located at 4431 West, 8200 South in West Jordan, Utah. For more information about tuition and time, visit our homepage at mrm.org. I think you'll enjoy this in-depth format, and I hope you can attend.
Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will be studying a new gospel doctrine manual. It's another one in the series of Teachings of Presidents of the Church. This one is Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Ezra Taft Benson. Ezra Taft Benson was the 13th president of the Mormon Church. He was born on August 4th, 1899, to Sarah Dunkley Benson and George Taft Benson. We might mention that Ezra Taft Benson is the great-great-grandson of Ezra T. Benson, who also shared the same middle name, Taft. Ezra T. Benson was appointed by Brigham Young and was a practicing polygamist, as many of the early leaders in the Mormon Church did practice plural marriage. Ezra Taft Benson became the president after the death of Spencer W. Kimball, who was the 12th president. And in my opinion, Eric, I think Ezra Taft Benson was probably one of the more controversial presidents, certainly in later times. He was the Secretary of Agriculture under President Eisenhower, but he held to some very strong political views. And if I was to just mention his name to you, what words would come to your mind?
The Book of Mormon, because he gave a conference talk in October of 1988 called Flooding the Earth with the Book of Mormon. And when you ask me that question, I think of flooding the earth. And I think he might be the originator of that, but he was very big on getting the Book of Mormon out to as many people as possible.
I think another word that would come to my mind would be the Constitution. He was really big in talking about the Constitution, writing about the Constitution. He felt that the Constitution was a divine document and that the men that were behind the Constitution were divinely led to write that document. When it comes to the Book of Mormon, though, getting back to what you said, Ezra Taft Benson held to what's known as the Heartland model of the Book of Mormon. He did not hold to the position that the Book of Mormon lands were really down in Central America, which would be known as the limited geography theory. In fact, this is a statement that Ezra Taft Benson made along those lines. He said, "Many great events have transpired in this land of destiny. This was the place where Adam dwelt. This was the place where the Garden of Eden was, and it was here that Adam met with a body of high priests at Adam on Diamon shortly before his death, and gave them his final blessing and the place to which he will return to meet with leaders of his people. This was the place of three former civilizations, that of Adam, that of the Jaredites, and that of the Nephites. This was also the place where our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, appeared to Joseph Smith, inaugurating the last dispensation." Now, that last sentence in that paragraph, I feel, sets the context for what Benson believed regarding where the Book of Mormon lands were located, because if you're going to believe that God the Father and Jesus appeared to Joseph Smith in upstate New York, then it's difficult to all of a sudden say that when he talks about this land, that that means down in Central America, as many Latter-day Saints are led to believe today as being the place where the Book of Mormon people live. But I think it's important, folks, that you understand the book that they are going to be going through is highlighting the teachings of a leader who believe that this continent, that this is the place where Adam dwelt, and that this is the place where the Garden of Eden was located. Now, you don't hear too many modern Latter-day Saints bragging about that, and I don't know if that particular tidbit of information is found in this manual, but it certainly is found in his book, Teachings of Ezra Taft Benson, on page 587.
Oh, you mentioned his controversial background. I mean, he was part of the Eisenhower cabinet back in the 1950s, and being a leading Mormon on that cabinet, he spoke in many different ways positively about the John Birch Society. And
which was an organization that had some very strong views against communism.
Well, so he was a part of the John Birch Society, a very much considered right-wing part of the conservatives. A lot of people who consider themselves patriots were part of that. But in January of 1963, the LDS Church issued a statement that distanced itself from the society. Now, he was an apostle at that time. It's interesting that they came out with that to distance themselves because they didn't want to dirty their hands, I suppose, in politics like that. But he was very, very conservative. And as I say, many would consider him a patriot.
Now, in this manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, one of the topics that you have found in all of the manuals in this series, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, they always cover a chapter on Joseph Smith.
Every single time. In fact, I went through and I talked about all of the different topics that could possibly be in any of these manuals. And the one topic that comes up every single time is Joseph Smith, written about more than any topic, even the Book of Mormon, Jesus, you name it. And in fact, the reviews I've done on previous Teachings of Presence of the Church can be found on our website under reviews. If you go to mrm.org/reviews, you can see LDS Church manuals and publications. And I like to go through chapter by chapter of these books, and I'll be doing that this year. And I'll be doing that as we go along. Yeah, chapter 7, he goes right into the issue of Joseph Smith, an instrument in the hands of the Lord. As all the other books have done, he spends time talking about it. This is how he writes on page 104 underneath, Joseph Smith's first vision was the greatest event in this world since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, as a young man, Joseph Smith was a seeker after truth. Confusion among existing churches led him to inquire of God which of them was true. In answer to that prayer, he asserted that a pillar of brilliant light appeared. And then they quote from Joseph Smith history and gives an account of Joseph Smith and his first vision. But it goes on page 105, and it says, the first vision of the prophet Joseph Smith is bedrock theology to the church.
He very strongly voiced his opinion regarding the first vision.
And Bill, you've said many different times that the two cornerstone pieces of Mormonism, historically, just like in Christianity, the resurrection for us is so important, but it's the first vision and the Book of Mormon, and he was big on both of those unique events.
Oh, absolutely. And I've often said that if you can convince a Latter-day Saint that the first vision that Ezra Taft Benson firmly holds to or held to did not take place as the Mormons are led to believe, then that would cause a serious doubt in the mind of most Latter-day Saints. I've also said that if you can show that the Book of Mormon is not what it claims to be, or what Joseph Smith claimed it to be, what Ezra Taft Benson claimed it to be, that would also put a serious dent in the faith of a Latter-day Saint.
But the argumentation is not very strong. On page 107, the title on page 107 of the section on the Book of Mormon says, the Book of Mormon is the most singular evidence of Joseph Smith's calling as a prophet. It seems almost circular reasoning to use this kind of argumentation, wouldn't you say?
I've actually had Mormons use that type of circular reasoning. They believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. Why? Well, because he produces the Book of Mormon, an ancient scripture. Well, how do you know the Book of Mormon is ancient scripture? Because we have a prophet of God declaring it to be so. That would be certainly the logical fallacy of circular reasoning. Now, some of your more sophisticated apologists probably wouldn't word it quite that way, but I have had lay members of the LDS Church explain it to me like that.
On page 108, this is what is written. We invite you to test the validity of our witness about the origin of the Book of Mormon. You can do this by reading it and asking our Heavenly Father if these things are true. I promise you, if you are sincere, you will receive a confirmation of the truthfulness by the Holy Ghost. Millions with soberness and sincerity testify they know it is from God.
Notice the disclaimer. You have to be sincere. What does that mean? If you were to follow the advice of the Mormon missionary that comes to your home and you were to take their challenge of reading the Book of Mormon and praying whether or not its message is true, if they were to come back a week later and ask you what was the result of your experience reading the Book of Mormon and praying about it, and you said, well, you know, I read through it and I just didn't feel that this really is what you claim it to be. I just don't believe that this is really the Word of God as you have explained it to me. What do you think those missionaries would be thinking?
They're going to leave their faith?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I've asked missionaries this. If I was to do what you tell me to do regarding the Book of Mormon, and I did not get this warm feeling that you're telling me I should receive, or this manifestation of the Holy Ghost, are you going to leave the church? They never say yes to that, even though they tell you before you do it that your feelings are so important when determining whether or not this book is really what Joseph Smith claimed it to be.
Listen to this line of reasoning by Benson. If the Book of Mormon is true, then Jesus is the Christ, Joseph Smith was his prophet, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is true, and it is being led today by a prophet receiving revelation.
More logical fallacies, because if the Book of Mormon is not true, that has no bearing whatsoever on who Jesus is and the claims of Jesus and what Jesus did as far as the resurrection from the dead.
And even if it were true, if the Book of Mormon is true, doesn't necessarily mean that the Mormon church is the true church, because there are several splinter groups out there, including Warren Jeffs, who hold to the Book of Mormon. Why aren't they the true church?
And even though I think Ezra Taft Benson holds to a lot of the traditional Mormonism that I think many modern Latter-day Saints are trying to get away from, the fact that they are studying this manual, I think could be encouraging for us as we try to challenge our Latter-day Saint acquaintances about the claims of traditional Mormonism.
I'll continue writing reviews of each of the chapters. You can find that on the main site on our website, mrm.org. Just go to the top. You'll see that. Chapter 1 is up there right now. And we will make that available so that people can see what a Christian view is on each of those chapters.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today.